RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That music means it's time for Tomlin Takes, maybe for the last time ever. Wouldn't that be delightful?
You're not, your head is saying it. Your heart doesn't sound in it. Like, you want it to be true, but you know it won't be.
Here is Mike Tomlin to start on the magnitude of getting to play the Ravens in Week 18 with something on the line. Oops.
Try it again.
It is an honor, man, to be in these games, to be in these hotly contested matchups. It seems like Baltimore is always a dance partner. I certainly am respectful and appreciative of that relationship and some of the historic things we've been able to do when these two teams have come together. This appears to be one of those weekends. It's humbling and an honor to be a component of it, but to be a component of it is just that. You know, our job is to win.
It's humbling and honoring to be a part of a game that honestly should have never happened if we had just beaten the Browns decisively on Sunday. And then we could have really made this rivalry perk up by getting to play the team we hate, eliminating them the week before, and getting to play backups against them to like rub it in their face that they're eliminated and we're not. That to me would have been, what's going on here with this song?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Why is it starting over and so quickly?
Because that's the way that the bet is set up.
No, we never heard it this way.
Maybe we have it on so low usually.
No, it never starts up like that.
Do we have like a Milli Vanilli situation on our
hands? I think it's just, it's changing so fast that it's going to drive me crazy if we do this for the rest of the segment. So, tell our friends Flock of Seagulls or whatever the heck their names are.
Flock of Seagulls?
Who are these guys? Whatever this band's name is.
Isn't it Aha?
Tell Aha to shut up.
All right, so what I have in here is only a 41 second
yes,
long.
Yes, get it out. See ya.
All right.
He said honor to be in the AFC North title game like they got picked by a committee.
Yes, like the Bowl Coalition poll had him up there.
Thank you for selecting us to play in the playoff.
We're honored to be here at the Independence Bowl or something like that.
Yeah, you're only in this because of the calamity
do dislike that because I've said many times I don't expect Mike to ever give you like the strategic look behind the curtain and he's going to say certain things to keep his team engaged in it. And maybe even that one is him trying to do a Jedi mind trick. We're honored to be here. But that one, for some reason, to me, is beyond the pale. Like, we all watched it. That game sucked. Oh, here we go again. I think he's got it now.
Charlie, if you're just doing this to mess with me, so help me God.
I was going to say, this is a dangerous game, a high wire act. Anyway, this one is so beyond the pale. Like, we all know, Mike, why you're here. Stop trying to act like it's a good thing. His insistence on, like, just talking about the pageantry of the AFC
yeah,
North.
Don't gaslight us.
I hate, yeah, exactly. That's the word. Thank you.
Leave that
it's
for your players.
It's classic gaslighting.
Here he is going back and forth with reporters, including our Jeff Hathorn, on what's going on with TJ Watt.
I'm assuming since TJ practiced last week that he has some, that he's been cleared at least to do that.
Again, he's coming off of a medical circumstance different than the injury circumstance. And so certainly he has a certain level of health, but we want to be cautious about how we work him back into the fold, and certainly he's done appropriate things in that area as well. And as I mentioned last week, I'm sure you guys will be hearing from him sooner rather than later, directly.
Do you consider using him situationally, or does he need to be back to be a full-time starter?
I'm open to utilizing him in any way that's appropriate relative to his availability.
Mike, does he need to practice fully multiple days this week to be able to go on Sunday?
Practice participation certainly would be more comforting in terms of making the decision, given he's coming back from a medical circumstance.
How would you describe his level of football shape?
I doubt that that TJ is ever out of football shape or conditioning over the course of a 12-month calendar. I just know how he lives his life and how he prepares and how thoughtful he is in terms of what he puts in his body and how he trains. And so I don't imagine that component of it being a major concern.
My takeaway is the ball's in Watt's court. I think they are going to let him make the ultimate decision. Do you trust your body to play on Sunday? Okay, so you do think you can play. Now, how much do you think you can play? We'll play it by ear once we get in stadium, but I think they're going to let him. It's his body. He's the one that went through this quote-unquote medical procedure. I think they're going to pretty much leave it in his hands, and if he feels up for it, I think they'll let him go.
And then he's probably going to want to play. I don't know. That thing about, well,
I don't agree with that.
Well, them letting him do that?
No, I don't agree with him.
You think he'll just, I don't think he'll just rubber stamp it and say, put me in, coach?
Yeah, I think he's the type of guy, and we see this from when he takes himself out of games, when he's healthy. I think if he feels like he can't be TJ Watt.
He doesn't want to put himself out there?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he wants to play at like 40%.
That's why the most specious part of Tomlin's answer there to me was, I think he's TJ Watt, he's always in football shape. Mike, despite his long history of great play here, one of the critiques from fans has often been he's out of the game at the most crucial moments because he decides he needs a breather because of how hard he plays and everything else. He's not Max Crosby, who, by the way, was like livid that he wasn't playing in one of the worst NFL games of the year. He was shooting right, baskets.
I actually
with
respect
his kid.
That about him.
No, I do too. I do too.
Here is Tomlin on making do without Darnell Washington.
We use a lot of tight ends. We also use guys at the tight end position that don't play tight end. Spencer Anderson. And so we have a lot of options at our disposal relative to that from a strategy perspective. And certainly given 6 or 7 days to prepare, I don't think it'll be a strategic issue in terms of replacing his efforts.
We play a lot of tight ends versus we know what to do with our tight ends or know how to use our tight ends are two different things. To their credit, I will give them a compliment. They have unlocked and untapped something in Darnell Washington. And I think now moving forward, they have a kind of unique player at that position that gives them a competitive advantage. Where they lose track of things at that position is how the rest of the guys get, like, how they dole out the playing time and then how they use those guys.
Used.
Yes. So Freiermuth and Smith. And he says, oh, we'll be fine. We got a lot of tight ends. Yeah, you do, but I don't trust you to use those guys correctly. Right. And Pat Freiermuth's season is exhibit A for that.
I mean, the only silver lining, and I say this very, not even half-heartedly, this is quarter-heartedly, is maybe you get Freiermuth, who has proven pretty obviously that if you can target him, he can make plays for you. Get him the ball more. The Darnell Washington touches should go to one person in the passing game, and that's Freiermuth. Targets, the touches, all of it. Not Jonnu Smith. As a matter of fact, if you're going to use Jonnu Smith, I would rather you line him up as a running back and toss the ball to
him. Like they used to do with Cordarrelle Patterson.
It's worked this year
another
for a touchdown.
Another one of Arthur Smith's favorites.
But it's worked this year for a touchdown. He's faster than Cordarrelle Patterson, by the way.
I think you probably were. And I beat you in the 40.
Shut up.
Here is Mike Tomlin on what the heck happened with Roman Wilson, how he went from being bullish on Roman Wilson to barely playing him against the Browns.
Particularly when you're not winning third downs, I don't think anyone plays as much as they would like. We've had this conversation many times about running the football. I felt really good about our run plan. I thought we had an opportunity to really control the game through those means. And we didn't have a bad running day, but we certainly didn't have as good a running day as we could have had we converted more possession downs. And I think the same could be said about levels of participation for guys like Roman and thus their ability to impact the game and in a positive way.
So we needed more offensive plays for the guys we deem better than Roman Wilson to get tired and need a playoff so he could have gone in more and played in those situations.
I just don't know. I just don't even know why. Why even bother? I know why people ask the questions. They should be. He's a third round pick from last year. At this point, Mike just should say something to the effect of, he's been working hard, but we just didn't find a place to use him. Just don't even try to.
How great would it be if he said an Aaron couldn't find a way to use him in this game? Because that's really the main reason why he doesn't play is because Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust
him. But I think also I do think Mike has strong enough opinions that if Mike really felt like he was doing something in practice that was worth taking a look at in the game, he would say, Aaron, I'm sorry, but you got to put this guy out there and we're going to put him out there. You got to look for him.
Those were Tomlin takes. Thank you, Charlie.
Had a labeling issue in there that Charlie told me in my ear was the issue.
Who do you blame?
It's the way that things are labeled.
Wait, why?
It's no nobody's fault.
Why are you asking Charlie who do you blame? You guys were the ones involved in this. I should be the one being the blame arbiter here.
The song is called Take On Me. So I looked up Take On Me.
You found it.
And that was the 41-second one.
But
there's another one that's deep in there that's called Tomlin Takes.
Deep in there. And that was the one he was looking for.
I was playing the one that I thought was the right one.
I will admit to this one on Pony's side. When I kept hearing it loop over and over again, I was ready to strangle myself. Yes, I was getting very upset.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, at 5:30, it is time for the final PM Team name game of 2025. The slate gets wiped clean starting next week. So we'll all be dead even.
Question.
Yes.
Were there any kind of stakes on, like, being the...
No.
The least loser?
No, nothing.
Are we putting anything on it in 26?
We can
discuss
that when Donnie gets back in next
week. How about
week?
We do Donnie's like turkey club bet where he was going to bet? I think we should just put a nice robust sandwich on it for 2026.
You did lose this year, Malzi.
Yeah, I sucked.
Donnie finished in second. I finished in first.
A distant first. You lapped us.
And participating today as Donnie's proxy, Charlie Borges.
Just bugs the hell out of me.
And I was told two categories today where Charlie could excel. The way this works is Joel Nelson is back to officiate. He was given two categories from an Odyssey Pittsburgh employee today. We will name the category. We will go round and round until one of us gets one wrong, gets stumped, or we close out the category and get every name right, which has happened one other time.
Question.
Yes.
Because this is turning over to a new calendar year after this one, do we get to know who the mystery Odyssey employee is, or do you want them to continue to be anonymous?
Depends if we think they did a good job or not.
Okay.
All right, Joel.
The name game, December 30, 2025. The wide receivers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are 31 names on here, two of which are also listed as handback, halfback, whatever. So,
halfback.
HB.
The handback.
Handback.
Is it handback or halfback?
He gives the ball to the handback.
Joel,
touchdown.
You're a Penn State fan. You see Kajana Carter's name with HB next to it, and you think he's the handback?
The handback?
I saw tailback.
Baby.
TB, okay.
All right. Malzi, you get to go first here.
All right.
Wide receivers in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm going to do the nice and easy one first. Jerry Rice.
Next.
Lynn Swann.
Lynn Swann, yes.
Chaz?
Oh, my God. Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Oh,
man, I thought for a brief moment.
You were already going to go down there?
I told you guys, my brain goes just blank.
Why does your brain go blank?
I don't know. I get it from my mother. Every time I ask her a trivia question, everything just goes right out the window.
John Stallworth.
John Stallworth, yes.
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson, yes.
Chris Carter.
Chris Carter, yes.
Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens, yes.
Steve Largent.
Steve Largent, yeah.
Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison.
Wide receivers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I'll go with one of those guys that I bet has... should I? Don Hutson.
Don
Hutson.
No, sir.
Pony.
Is he not listed as a wide receiver?
Hutson. Come on. You even didn't even react to that because you know how absurd.
Yeah, he's
that
in
is
the Hall of Fame.
What there's is some he listed
sort of
as?
There's some sort of category, letter E.
An end. With, they called those guys ends.
Oh, ends? Okay.
Pony, are you giving me that one on
I'm
the
guess. That has to count, right?
The he's obvious in principle.
Now, how many
here
guys are in the end category?
There are 7 of these.
So I guess maybe that
Hutson
would up it to 30.
Six others.
To 38.
Eight.
Because okay. I'm going to give you Don Hutson.
Thank you. I mean, I just feel like this would be an
yeah,
absurd
that
exercise. Thank you.
Sterling Sharp.
Mm. Sterling
he's in
Sharp
there. You don't have to look.
Okay.
Tim Brown?
Yeah.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I didn't know if he's
there
in.
There was a bit of a Ron Burgundy vibe there.
You went, Tim Brown?
What? Tim Brown, yes.
Back to Malzahn.
Andre Reed.
Andre Reed, yeah. Man, he played 15 seasons.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think he did? The pride of Kutztown, PA. Or Kutztown University.
Michael Irvin.
The playmaker.
Michael Irvin,
he's
yeah
in.
You got this, Charlie.
He might not got this.
No.
I'm looking at your face, and it looks like your brain is turned off.
It might have.
I think you can do this. I have some faith in you.
Clock started.
30 seconds.
No pressure.
You already said Calvin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Harrison.
Mm-hmm. You said that, not me.
Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt
no
is not on the list.
Isaac Bruce is.
Yes.
Ike Bruce.
Holt was a good guess. I would have guessed that too.
I had Charlie Taylor written down as another one.
I do see Charlie Taylor. He's one of the two who was
Charlie
listed as
a tweet
halfback
went out today with the finalists for this year's Hall of Fame, and Torrey Holt was on that list.
Okay.
As in a guy that's not in the Hall of Fame who's trying to get in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
If you had merely looked at the biggest stories in football today and perused it for 2 minutes.
Are you saying I should have done that for the debrief?
I'm not saying you should have done that for the debrief, but if you had just been looking to see what was out there in terms of major football stories, you would have known that Torrey Holt is not yet in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's all.
Did you guys talk about Chip Kelly going to Northwestern at all today?
We did not. We actually talked about the country of Brunei. Or Brunei.
Next.
He made it through 5 rounds, though, Pony, and that
is
not
good.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was, you know, name Tampa Bay Buccaneers players until you can't anymore. So I think he did well.
Thank you. Thank you, Malzahn. I appreciate that.
Anyway.
You know what he's doing again, though? He always does this to you. Like, he's giving you credit for failing at something. Or when you exceed his
minuscule expectations.
Yes.
I'm damning you with faint praise.
Again,
that's what I'm doing.
He gives you these backhanded compliments all the time and you just take them.
They're compliments.
As opposed,
you don't give me nothing.
As opposed to Pony, who gives you front-facing insults.
All right, Nelly.
The 27 countries that make up the European Union.
You start, Charlie.
France.
France, yes.
The French just love them, some European Union. Germany.
Germany, yes.
I'm going to say Italy's in the European Union.
Yes.
Switzerland.
No, sorry.
Yes!
What?
The Swiss love to remain neutral.
They got their banks. They don't need any of that
they
European
love two
Union
things, chocolate, three things, chocolate, banking, and neutrality.
They don't need to get involved in that whole business.
Studiously neutral. I thought somebody might trip up and go United Kingdom and then forget all about old Brexit.
Let's go.
I would imagine like your Austrias are in there.
Hungary.
Austria, Belgium.
Hungary might not be,
no?
Actually.
How about Poland?
Hungary is.
Poland is. Ukraine, I don't think is, no.
Charlie, there were
Netherlands,
so many countries there for you.
Finland.
Netherlands.
How about Norway?
Spain.
Portugal.
Definitely the Portuguese. How about Croatia?
Croatia.
Switzerland is just an entity.
They like to be on, they're neutral, Pony, I said it.
At all times.
They stay right down the middle.
So what is their currency called?
In Switzerland? I think it's the franc.
I love that you pronounced it that way.
Just giving him a little Joe Block. A Frank.
Just to really twist the knife on old.
Is there a third
Charlie.
Category that I can try to redeem myself?
Is there?
How about we just give Charlie a bonus and he can try to name as many players from the 95 Devils Stanley Cup team?
I think we can have him do that off the air. I don't want to subject our listeners to that or viewers on YouTube.
Or oh, X. Boy. Hey, I went. Didn't lose, baby.
You're welcome, Mulder. Merry Christmas and a happy bleeping so New Year.
So you made it through five to the fifth round of the wide receiver one. I think Donnie would have gotten a little further, but I'm not sure how much further. Pony was also generous about Don Hutson because that was kind of a ball don't lie.
Andre Johnson in the Hall of Fame?
Andre? Yeah. Could have gone with him. Wouldn't Charlie Joyner have
Why didn't you just
one?
Look up at the TV and name one of these two countries for the European Union, Chaz?
You're Latvians.
Denmark's in there, right?
Donnie would not. Donnie might have thrown out Mongolia. Though, I will
and
say.
Mongolia would not be there.
Donnie would Yeah, I know, no, Nelly. Donnie would have said Egypt. Did you know
No,
that,
I think he's better than that.
Did you know that Donnie thought that Plato, the ancient...
philosopher.
Ancient philosopher. He thought he lived in, like, the 1700s.
Oh, gosh.
Which is an all-timer.
All-timer. I know he's a big Zeus guy.
Oh, he's a huge Zeus guy.
All right. Thank you for playing PM Team Name Game. What was the Zeus one Greek gods?
Yeah, and we had there
that
was, a,
was brutal.
A lot of questions about Greek or Roman gods.
That was and a it, tough one.
It was probably the funniest thing in my personal Zeus, opinion Athena, that's ever Poseidon. Been said. When Donnie, I went first, I forget who I said, or maybe Pony did, and Pony just said, oh, I'll go with Zeus. Donnie saying, oh, I'm a big Zeus guy. It was one of the funniest, most foreboding statements. You just knew he was swimming upstream at that point.
Hodgepodge comes your way next. Then we have PM Team Overtime.
Pony.
Pitt, Miami at 7 o'clock on the Fan. Yes.
I have one final. It's our last show of the year. I have one final Summer of Malzy, Year of Malzy update.
Oh!
In the Hodgepodge.
Okay. Quick timeout. We're right back. It's the PM team.
We have.
Awesome opportunity, said Mike Tomlin today. A good question by Brooke when he tried to lay it on thick with the welcome to AFC North Championship Week, baby. Like they had just played their way into something.
Oh, no, that's exactly right.
You
exactly
played your way
right.
out of it. This should be a bye week, and we should be asking you who's going to play and who's going to sit. So he's trying to put lipstick on that pig. The awesome opportunity part. In the trying to find silver linings in this game, I think are interesting because I've seen some Steelers fans, and I wonder how many of you out there agree with this. This whole rationalization for losing the Browns game and having this game on Sunday now that's an all or nothing win or go home game, an actual must-win game. And the thing I've seen some Steelers fans do to cope with this dilemma or situation is to say the following. You know, if you would have told me back in August, before the Steelers season started, that we would be hosting a home playoff game against the Ravens with the division on the line, with a chance to win the AFC North and not just get a wild card spot, I would have signed in blood for that. And that is, I think, the feeling that some Steelers fans have tried to use to get over the Browns' loss from Sunday. Does that pass the Mulzy smell test?
No, I believe that is what the kids of today call, it's a four-letter word, cope. That is cope. Because how you arrive at a destination matters, not just the fact that you're at that destination.
Well, do you disagree with the first with the statement itself, though? Like, Would you have taken this before the season started?
Just in a vacuum, I guess.
You would have.
But it's a season where Burrow missed a ton of time, Jackson missed a lot of time. Like,
so you think the context is important?
Yeah, and you had an opportunity to really seize this thing, I think, by playing a little better,
yeah.
Especially in the mid portion, and they didn't. And then you had an opportunity, even with all that, on like maybe an unexpected little run that you got on. You won a Detroit game that most people had chalked up as an automatic loss. And that, by virtue of that, you had a chance to truly, even as the worst record of the AFC playoff teams to be, give yourself a bye week when only one other team is formally getting one, and you blew it. And you did it in, like, awful, awful fashion. And so, again, destination matters. Journey too, and how it unfolded also matters. And that is why I have a very hard time just sidling up and going, oh, yeah. Yeah, if you had offered me this, I'd have signed in blood. Maybe if the team was projected to go 4-13, had the worst roster in the NFL, and they somehow dragged themselves to this, or Rodgers had gotten hurt and Rudolph had steadied the ship all the way through.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but how about as a rebuttal or a retort to that, how about the, well, we had to play without Metcalf, we had to play without Austin, we had to play without Washington for three quarters of that game, we had to play about Sayamalu.
Well, the first one's the biggest one probably because of how bad their passing game was, and why was he not there, DK Metcalf?
Because he acted like an idiot.
Yeah, he lost his temper and tried to like grab and physically briefly harm a fan. So, again, self-inflicted wounds. And also, injuries happen in football. I just talked about why the other two teams that were supposed to be probably the big contenders in the division, I think were the two betting favorites going in, 1 and 2, Ravens and Bengals, why they were out of it, or in the Bengals' case, out of it, the Ravens' case on life support. It was because their most important player on each of those two teams got hurt. I'm sorry, like Calvin Austin getting hurt, Darnell Washington getting hurt, a veteran left guard getting hurt is not the same.
Well, the Steelers' best player, though, in theory, hasn't played for a month now. The Steelers don't. Aaron Rodgers is not Joe Burrow or
And why
Lamar
is he
Jackson.
Not played for a month? Because somebody punctured his lung during a treatment.
Yes.
This is like the way you're saying it, and I know you're bringing it up to try to just continue to bring up other points. It's been the most Keystone Cops, like Las Vegas Raiders or Cleveland Browns type season, other than the record that you could possibly dream up. Think about it. Just I use those two teams as a very specific example because we laugh at the Browns because they're 140 miles northwest of here, and we laugh at the Raiders because they have the Prince Valiant haircut owner that's always like, and he's always a clown show.
But if these two incidents happened to them, we'd say
we'd be howling
Browns.
With laughter. Yes, or classic Raiders.
The Browns is the Browns.
Hey, the Raiders were going to make the playoffs, but then their best receiver decided to try to assault a fan because he got mad about stuff the fan was saying. Oh, the Browns were actually looking good, but one of their people punctured Myles Garrett's lung during a dry needling treatment. We would be literally excoriating them for what a joke they are. And these things actually happened here. So I can't let the Steelers like off the hook and say, well, I'd have signed in blood for this. If the Penguins going into this year, who are still like pretty high up in the regulation points one, if they end up getting on a little roll, like apparently everyone's allowed to in the NHL this year, like a random winning streak again, and they make the playoffs after they were looking like one of the three or four worst teams in the league on paper coming into the season, like Gentile told me he thought they were that, about bottom five or so.
Yep.
Then I think you would say, like, yeah, they made the playoffs. Holy crap, Gavin McKenna doesn't maybe quite look like as much of a dude. Yeah, I'd have signed him blood for that, knowing all that now. Like, yeah, because now you're in that tournament. Who knows what the hell happens? Another year of
but
Crosby
if they
in the playoffs?
Looked like
not
a,
with this team,
but if
though.
They if they were a lock to make the playoffs and then had a horrible April and needed to win the last game of the season to get in the playoffs, you're telling me you wouldn't say, or you would say, well, if you told me back in October the Penguins would have one game at home to make the playoffs, I would have signed in blood for that. Even if they lost
think,
like 9 of 10 down the stretch.
I just think that I would not be in the mode to like view things through that lens. Would you? If it went from playoffs are a fait accompli, they're going to make it because they were so good for 70 games.
Yeah.
To they have literally frittered this whole thing away in 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
I just, could you as a sports fan look at that and say that? If somebody said that to you with a straight face, wouldn't you be like, come on, man, get real?
I don't think it's one size fits all. I think with the Penguins, I probably would still say, you know what? The last 2 weeks or 3 weeks of the season have sucked, but win this game and all is forgiven and you've had a good year. The thing that keeps me from getting on board with the, who wouldn't have signed up for this AFC North Championship game when the season started? Like, keep that in proper context, Steelers fans. Like, don't lose sight of that. Like, be hyped. Be excited for this game. Who cares that we lost to Cleveland? Let's move on. We've got this gigantic game now that we should be happy about and excited about. The thing that keeps me from getting there is we just did this last year. They lost 4 games at the end of the regular season, and we had Steelers fans telling us, hey, it's actually not a bad thing that they drew the Ravens in the playoffs. They know how to beat Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, how'd that
Forget
go?
About the last 4 games. If you would have told me that they had a playoff game against the guy they always beat, I would have signed in blood for that.
Yeah.
And then they lost 28-14, and the game was actually much, much uglier than the final score indicated.
Yep.
So because that just happened, I have a hard time playing the game of, yeah, it's just about the fact that you're here and, you know, like the... It's ignore what have you done for me lately and just focus on the full 17 weeks that led up to this point. And you absolutely would have taken this back in September when the season started.
Yeah, I hate that way of looking at it. You said it very well. The way Mike framed it was we won that game last week to get to this point. If we hadn't won a game last week, we wouldn't be in this. It would be a meaningless game. No.
Welcome to AFC North Championship Week, as I like to refer to it.
Like if he had won as like a 10-point underdog against a really good team last week, right? Yeah. Like he had gone, I don't know, pick a team, right? They're playing the Bills in that game, and he hosts them, and they actually win. Okay, like if you find out they've got to win that game for this game to matter at all, I would feel a little different because they'd be riding high, having been like victorious over a playoff team. You lost to a team that was at least partially trying to lose, Mike.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.